two preachers in London were arrested for preaching not anti-gay things, not this was not an LGBTIOU thing. This was preaching the gospel. They were quoting the verse that says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man comes by. By the way, John Wesley preached the same sermons on the streets of London as well. But these two men were arrested for hate speech. Yes, sir. Yes. Yes, he is. Thank you. So they were arrested for hate speech because if Jesus is the way, the truth, and life, and I don't believe that, well, that's offensive to me. You're under arrest. Now, I've also mentioned that in Sweden, the same time, yes, Sweden, the country that everybody thinks is the most perfect place on earth. I wish they'd move there if that's the way they feel. But right now, they are in the process of closing down all the religious schools in the country that will not comply to their secularization order. The Swedish government is closing down 59 Christian schools, 11 Islamic schools, and one Jewish school because they refuse to comply to the demand of the government to become secularized. So even though something is changing in our country that's positive for Christianity and for religion in general, what's happening in Europe is they are swatting butterflies with sledgehammers. And, you know, I've often said, ever since the day I became a Christian, I wonder if what's happening in Europe will ever reach the United States. It often does. So this is a concern that we're having about what's going on in the world today. I would turn your attention to John 17, because the topic is holiness, not the condition of governments and what they're doing with religion. It doesn't matter what the government does with Christianity, because Christianity is not worried about that. We're only worried about obeying the living God, which the government doesn't understand. They will never understand it, because they're religiously illiterate, and they always tend to go secular. And when we say secular, we're saying that the government doesn't believe that God matters. And there's a whole section of our country that says God doesn't matter. Okay? Now, some of them are indifferent, and that continuum swings all the way over here to hostile. But right now, the trend seems to be shifting. So I'm happy to report that to you, but I'm still worried about Europe. Now, I'm going to take you to John 17, verse 15. And by the way, John 17 is known as the high priestly prayer of Jesus for his followers. This is a prayer, and I'm jumping right in the middle of it. I should read the whole thing, but I'm going to start with 15. I'm not asking you, Father, to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. So, in the world but not of it, you know, is only half right, because we're in the world, we are of it, but we're protected from the evil one. Isn't that good news? They do not belong to this world any more than I do. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world, and I gave myself as a holy sacrifice for them so they can be made holy by your truth. Father, I just want to ask that this particular passage, which is so strong and so right and so good, that every one of us, Lord, would just sink our teeth and our mind and our soul and our imagination into it, and get a better picture of what you're calling us to. Now, Lord, I put this ladder up. I say this is the eighth rung. We are ascending even deeper into your presence, Lord, as we go up this ladder. And we thank you, Lord, that as we do that, all of these things, all of these presences, this choosing of Christ and receiving power and understanding God's word and going into a deeper presence and recognizing your providences and Oftentimes, crisis will set in, but the victory comes on, and then ultimately, we move into a holy life. Lord, just continue to show all of us how that works in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Now, the one problem that the church has is that you are out there in the world doing your thing 6 days a week, and then on Sunday, you come in to the church. Now, the world is saying one thing. God does not matter. Do not base your life on God. Base your life on your individual freedoms. You know, it's kind of curious to me that Christians will stand up and say, we demand a right for freedom of speech, and yet we don't use the freedom of speech to declare Jesus as Lord. We're more interested in the freedom of speech than we are in the speech itself. And I find that very curious. Now, you hear God doesn't matter, 6 days a week, and then you come into the church, and then you hear me say, God really matters the most. I don't hear any amens there, see? Do I have to say it again until I get through this plaster that's been covering you all week to get you to clear out your ears to hear that God matters the most? Hey, that's what I'm talking about. I like Clint, too. He's giving me a firm amen there. So, God said in Leviticus, well, let's just look at Hebrews 12:14b first, work at living your holy life. This is God's demand. Work at living the holy life. That's a 24/7, 365 challenge. Work at living the holy life. Now somebody said, well, I'm saved by grace, not by works. Well, it's not really that smooth, is it? We know that we work for salvation in a way. We have to comply. So work at living a holy life. Then below that, Leviticus 28b, I am the Lord who makes you holy. Boy, did Moses find that out. You know, he had to go see what it was. And then when he got up, the first thing that God said to him, he didn't say, welcome. He said, take those dirty sandals you have on and throw them away because you're on holy ground. Okay. God got down to business in one statement. He didn't mess around with, how's the family? And what did you do last summer for your vacation? No, it was take off your sandals. You're on holy ground. And by the way, Charlton Heston will always be Moses in my mind. I can't escape that fact. So, then we have the statement, we are in the world, but not of it. Okay. So we're in the world, we belong to Jesus Christ, but as far as the world's values and what the world thinks is important, we're not of that. In fact, we're disinterested with that. And that's what bugs people. Yeah, are you going to go do this? You're going to go down there? You're going to take care of this? You're going to experience that? No, I'm not. I'm not really interested in that. Well, what are you interested in? The living God who raises us from the dead. How's that? You mean, you're more interested in them than, you two coming to Phoenix? Yeah, I am. I'm more interested in the living God. You know, it's unbelievable that you Christians have a whole different set of interests. And it's sometimes unacceptable. And that's where the hostility can break out. So, God, and this is the basic teaching on holiness. If you look at your notes, God sets us apart for His holy purpose. And we call that sanctification. That's a very big word. But what God does is He takes your life and He says, I'm going to put you over here in my column. The column that says, I care about what God cares about. Okay. Now, I was over here in this column, and you know what this column is about? I care about what Frank cares about. But God has made a big shift in my life, so I care about what God cares about, and now I'm beginning to experience His sanctification, but it's all God. God is doing the setting of a part at this point. Okay? Now watch this. It is the divine response to Christ's prayer for us. What did He say? sanctify them, make them holy in your truth. Your word is true. Now, Jesus is praying this high priestly prayer over all the believers. He's saying, make them as holy as possible based on the benefit of my death and resurrection and the Holy Spirit. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. We are experiencing that, but it's an eighth rung experience. It's where I'm saying, you know what? The only thing I care about is what God cares about. And really, my cares about my own stuff, I can leave it alone. In fact, I'm kind of sick and tired of my own stuff and all the stuff that's going on in the world. I would rather live over here in the holy zone because that's what I was actually created for. And it's not that easy to do. All right, so the Holy Spirit is the agent of this work. Now let's get some pure doctrine here. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are the Trinity. 1 + 1 + 1 = 1. Whoa. Okay. Now, when you are in the presence of the Holy Spirit, this is what will happen. And it has to do with the principle of condensation. Condescension. Not condensation. I do this every time I bring this illustration up. Condescension. Now, when you use condescension in regular language, you know, get rid of that condescending attitude you have. You're arrogant and I don't need it. Okay, so usually when we bring up the word condescension, it is a negative thing. But in the Trinity, it turns out to be a wonderfully glorious, beautiful thing. Because here's the Father. And I say, Father, you are awesome in glory and you are amazing in every way. And do you know what he says? Yes. But have you considered my Son who's at my right hand? Well, yes, Jesus, you're awesome and glorious and beautiful in every way I can think of. And Jesus says, yes. But have you considered the Holy Spirit? You see, the Father consents to the Son consents to the Holy Spirit. And then when you go to the Holy Spirit and you say, Holy Spirit, I worship you because you're awesome. You are so beautiful and glorious and holy. The Holy Spirit says, yes, I am. But have you considered the Father? And around it goes. It's the principle of condescension in the most positive way. And so God even will condescend to human beings. Because he loves us so much. What does John 3:16 say? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I'm condescending. I would rather keep him here, but because of your sin, he's coming to the world. And by the way, he condescended to do that. The second person in the Godhead said, you know, God said, who will go for us? And Jesus said, I'll go. By the way, I'm the only one really that can go. So I'm going. And he came. And what did he do? He sanctified the world with his presence. He died on the cross. His blood cleanses us from all sin. That's the victory of Jesus Christ. That's what we stand on. And that's glorious. But then when we say, Jesus, you're glorious, he'll say, no, the Father's glorious. You know, or the Holy Spirit is glorious, but, you know, just consider the facts. We're a 3-in-1 entity. And it's hard for the brain to deal with, isn't it? In fact, it's impossible to deal with the mystery of God. 1 + 1 + 1 always equals 1 when it comes to the Trinity. And your brain goes, no way. We want to parse it. We want to make a pie. Okay, Jesus is 1/3 of the pie. Now we've got to lynch you for heresy. He's the whole pie. The Father's the whole pie. And the Holy Spirit is the whole pie. They're fully God. And Jesus has a unique place. He's fully God and fully man. And he's the head of the church. And the church is the body of Christ. And Jesus is in the Godhead right now. And where's the church? With him. We're not the Trinity, but we experience the Trinity because we're present in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. How do you like them apples? That's theologically impeccable, friends. Once the body of Christ realizes where they're seated with God in heavenly places and realize the authority they have, the church will explode. But so many times we're just getting to the seventh rung and trying to figure out what that means. All right. So let's shift over now to our part. God's part is to sanctify. We set ourselves apart for His holy purpose. You know, I was over here saying, God doesn't matter, God doesn't matter, God doesn't matter. I'm my own boss. I'm the boss around here. And then God got a hold of me and drugged me over here, not this quickly, kicking and screaming. And now I'm saying, all glory and honor to Jesus Christ and God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I'm all about what God cares about. So there's a big shift. Now, what I am doing when I'm making this process of coming over here and saying God is King is called consecration. That's what human beings do. God sanctifies, human beings consecrate. God says, I'll set you apart for a holy purpose. That's sanctification. And we're saying, Lord, we aren't going to argue with you. We are going to cooperate with you and be consecrated by the sanctification, which also makes us holy. Because if we fight it, we're not consecrated, nor are we sanctified. It's a matter of surrender. Amen. Good preaching, Frank. Now, let's go to Ephesians 4:1 to get a better picture of what we're talking about. Because we've made this journey of sanctification through God and consecration by our own will, therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Now I'm focusing on a life worthy of your calling because your calling comes from the living God. It's not from the army. It's not a draft notice. It's not from the government. It's not from the IRS. It's not from the BBC. It's not from the, you know, you name it. It's a calling from God. And He's saying, now that you're with me over here, I want you to live a life that's worthy of your calling. That's what separates us up there on the eighth rung. All right, so got that done. Now, withdrawal from the world. And I want you to understand this. Okay, withdrawal from the world is not an option for the believer. I want to just say to you that, yeah, we've heard tales of hermits and monks who have secluded themselves in solitude, haven't spoken a word for years. They may have some special designation from the living God, but for the vast, vast, vast majority of believers, we cannot withdraw from the world. It is not an option. So you're in this world and you are of it. Or not of it when it comes to holiness, because the world's rejecting holiness. In the world, but not of it. And so your place in the world should be one of being an activist rather than a pacifist back in the woods there at the Trappist Monastery. By the way, my school back in Kentucky was right next door to the Trappist Monastery where they take vows of silence and live in shacks in the woods. Alright, so now, when it comes to this idea of holiness, I want to get this across to you because every evangelical Christian church, or name it, you know, Christian churches, have different kinds of attitudes about just how holy human beings can be. Some of them are pessimistic. Okay. Pessimistic. And so they are a pecker santos, meaning peccare, is sin. Okay, they're sinning saints. In your Italian household, have you ever come across peccare? Okay, well, that's a sin. Okay. Sanctus. They're sinning saints. Peccari sanctus. And they're saying, the church is holy, okay, but I cannot be holy. In fact, I'm going to quote the Westminster Catechism every day, that I sin in thought, word, and deed daily. As far as victory over sin, I don't know anything about it. And by the way, we're having a luncheon after the service, and somebody's bringing a keg of beer, so be there. Okay. Now, believe me, there are churches that have their potlucks. You know, their church potluck featuring this big old keg of beer. Okay. So, I'm not mentioning any names, though, but you know, there's the pastor pouring these frothy mugs of beer for everybody. That will never happen here, all right? This is a place where the AA meets. Okay, yeah, that's all we have to have. The AA folks that attend here, I can't mention them because they're anonymous, but, you know, they would just throw us out and say, you guys are hypocrites. You know, we're dealing with our alcoholism, and here you are having a beer bust after church. Well, we're not that way. We're not pessimists about the amount of holiness that a human being can experience, because God does sanctify. Jesus asked the Father to sanctify us. We need to be sanctified, and it's definitely a possibility. Now, there's another school that's more moderate about it, and they put the holiness more on the church, which is absolutely correct. The church is holy by nature. The church will be saved. You know, when somebody asks me about eternal security, I understand the Wesleyans reject eternal security. We do not reject eternal security because we believe that the entire church will be saved on Judgment Day. The entire church. Well, does that mean that everybody will be saved? Everybody that's a Christian in that moment will be saved. You know, that's the truth. You know, we believe that. So, the church is going to be saved, and there's nothing that can thwart the church from being saved. But in the last minute, you damn Jesus, and you say, I'm not going? Our God is polite. Okay, so that's the distinction. It's not eternal security so much as it's conditional security. But when you're walking in the holy way, you don't have to worry about it. That's the least of your worries. That my salvation is in jeopardy. I'm too busy serving God to be worrying about that. Can you say amen to that? Come on. All right. So the modern church says, yes, the church is holy. I'm not so sure about the people. Okay. That's the modern. And then you've got our view, which is shockingly optimistic. You know, this is called shock value. Here's what we believe. We believe that the power of the Holy Spirit can come on to a believer where they can consistently live the holy life and not sin in word and deed every day. You can be so busy seeking the Lord that you don't have time to sin. In fact, sin is not your interest. You know, now I was a heavy drinker before I became a believer. And, you know, after I stopped drinking, all of my musician buddies and other friends were saying, so you're not drinking anymore? Yeah, no. I said, no, I'm drinking as much as I want. Oh, you are? I'm drinking as much as I want, and I don't want to. Oh. That's the power of holiness, you see. Because, yeah, I had an addiction to alcohol, but now I don't care about it. It's not even on the radar at all. Because that's the power of the Holy Spirit shifting your whole world. And He does. We're very, extremely, ridiculously serious about the holy life because God is doing it. Otherwise, why did Jesus say to the Father, sanctify them in the truth? Your word is the truth. Why would Jesus ask the Father to sanctify those followers? Because it can happen. And you can live this victorious life. And you don't have to worry about the demons of rum and other demons. Greed. So, consistent holy living is the goal. Now, I'm not saying perfect. Because your free will is still intact. Your free will can always revert. Your free will can say, I'm out. I'm going to go get a bag of heroin right after the service. Did I ever tell you the story about our sound person? This is not, these current sound persons are not who I'm referring to. But we had a church, and the sound booth was kind of its own insular place. And, you know, the sound wasn't that good. Besides, it was just our organ lady and my microphone. And sometimes the choir would have a couple of mics on it. So he had a pretty easy job. But then we went on retreat after he left the church and ended up at another Wesleyan church. And all these Wesleyan men had come together. And it was testimony night. And it was a very tender night in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And Marson, his name is Marson, stood up and said, "I have a sin that I'd like to confess to the whole group." And we're all like, "Yeah?" He said, "I used to snort cocaine in the sound booth at Riverside Wesleyan Church while the service was going on." Now top that! All right. Now this is the same guy that when he married his dear wife, they decided they were going to have 5 children. And they were going to name the children with the letters J-E-S-U-S. Okay. So they had 5 children, and they all had a name starting with a J, a name starting with an E, a name starting with an S, a name starting with a U, and a name starting with S. And then she became pregnant again. No problem. C. that a horse or a saint? It's a horse. You know? Why elevate yourself to the presence of the Lord in holiness when all you're doing is stuff? You know, I'm doing my holy stuff that's supposed to make me holy. It doesn't make us holy at all. Holiness flows in addition to the presence of the Holy Spirit through the truth of the gospel. Remember, Jesus said, sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. So, that's what he said. Be in the word of God. Hear the word. Okay, then, God's word brings the details and the apartness. Remember, God sets you apart. So this is what sets you apart. You know what the bottom line is on the apartness? We love like nobody else. Christians full of the Holy Spirit and the word of God love others like nobody else. And there should be a lot of evidence in every one of our lives that we're the ones that come to others' assistance. And we help. Okay. So the Word of God details that. Yes, in the world, but not of it. We don't do it for our own glory. We don't do it for anybody's glory except the living God. We serve others with love. Okay, now, we do know that the world is toxic to holiness. We know that people make fun. You know, they say, you're so heavenly-minded, you're no earthly good. And, you know, sometimes it feels hard to accept that. But that's the lifestyle that God is calling us to. And I want to tell you, it's the best lifestyle because God is the only one that matters. And he's calling us to this lifestyle. So the world sees no value in holiness. The world's hostile to holiness. Yet we are sent into the world to complete the mission Jesus started. Now, Jesus says to the Father, you, and this is verse 18, as you have sent me into the world, so do I send them. You know, so God is sending us into the world to make a holy difference. All right. What do we got? Oh, that looks familiar. All right. Final point. You ready for the final point? Now, the key to the holy life is actually mentioned in verse 19. Look at this carefully. It says again, I give myself as a holy sacrifice for them so that they can be made holy by your truth. This is a Trinitarian act to make you holy. And Jesus has given himself as a holy sacrifice. So that's where it is. That is, the world sees no value in holiness, but Jesus is the key to the holy life. He came into the world, the Son of God, to die for our sins and to make it possible for us to live the holy life, a victorious life. A life that has crisis, but it goes to victory. And then he goes on to say, which works with God's word and spirit. And this is real treasure. In fact, one of the translations says, the treasure of God's word. I like that. So all of this combines to the possibility of the holy life. Now, I want to take you to Colossians 2 and 3 before we quit. I got Colossians 2 and 3. Nope, didn't I give you something? Said 2 and 3? I didn't. Well, I'm sorry. At my age, I'm getting forgetful. 2 and 3. Chapter 2. It says, I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. I want them to have complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan, the mystery of godliness, which is Christ himself. In him lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Colossians 2, 2 and 3. I would also add now John 17, 20. So do we have that? Okay, let's see that. I am praying not only for these disciples, this is in this high priestly prayer, but also for all those who will ever believe in me through their message. So the disciples are sharing, and they're going to share to the next generation, and the next generation, and the next generation. And what are we doing? We're sharing with the next generation. And we are sent, just like Jesus was sent. And we are bringing a message of holiness, even though it might be met with hostility. It doesn't change the assignment. We still go. And we perfect our love. Look at that last statement, for God and neighbor. Look at Romans 12:9. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Are you ready to take a serious step on the ladder? Okay. We had the victory last week, and it's a great thing to, you know, run a victory lap around the sanctuary. But now the work of holiness is before us, and we can take another step on this ladder and have a great impact on other people because we don't want to be hypocritical in our love. Can I have that slide again? Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Could this be your marching orders for this week? Who's going to say, okay, I'm going to take Romans 12:9. I'm not going to pretend to love others. I'm really going to love them. I'm going to hate what is wrong, and I'm going to hold tightly to what is good. That's our marching orders for this week. I want you to stand. We're going to consecrate ourselves to this pledge. Father,